really happy to be joined by our next guest. His name is Thomas Freestead. He is with the Kansas City Business Journal. Certainly a lot of things to talk about with Thomas. How you doing today, man? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year as well, and thank you for the opportunity. No overstatement to say, yeah, a whole lot of stuff to talk about where the teams are concerned this year.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I ideally dedicate coverage oxygen to literally anything else on the real estate and development side, in addition to the stadium stuff.
I'm currently trying to read a book. I'm reading Friday Night Lights, the book, and part of me, like, in the middle of reading, and I'm like, why can't I just turn on the television show? I already know all of this.
Yeah, that's fun. Reading more generally, work-related and otherwise as well. Great goal to shoot for.
So right now we're talking to Thomas Freestead. He's with the Kansas City Business Journal. Certainly a lot to ask him about and get his opinion on. So let's start with this. There's been a lot of conversation about the deal between the Chiefs and Kansas. I guess let's just start with this. What do you make of the deal? Do you think this is a good deal for the residents of the state of Kansas?
Everyone kind of consuming the story is going to have to draw their own conclusions as to whether it is a good deal in terms of being a good deal for Kansas, what they ought to pursue. Is it a workable deal? Is it a functional one? That's kind of where my reporting comes into play. And so like over the last year and a half of covering this stadium story, I never really took for granted that a new Kansas stadium, a dome stadium, was something that the Chiefs might pursue. It was always just, what is the Starbond district going to be? Within what area of Metro Kansas will future sales taxes be captured to repay stadium bonds? And it was our coverage where we put out the rough estimate based on the state's map of 293 square miles. That's what we are currently working off of as a baseline and waiting for the parties involved to hone that further.
I've seen the map that is drawn up by this. It seems like a pretty big area. What do you make, of the early proposal of what the Starbond district is going to look like?
Well, it stood out in that it was a little bit validating from the standpoint of, I think there might have been a misconception from some sort of loosely following stadium goings on that it was only going to be the stadium and perhaps surrounding mixed uses from which sales taxes were captured. And when you look at the multi-billion dollar magnitude of these projects, that was never going to be the case. It was just, how big did the district have to be? And so the day after that map got put out, what I was able to do, I pull up the map in one internet tab. I pulled up municipal maps for all of the Metro Kansas cities in the other. And this is something you can do at home. You can type in the boundaries for Kansas City, Kansas, for Edwardsville, for Bonner Springs, Olathe, et cetera, and see kind of how they comport with the outlines of what that map is. It's all of those cities smushed together is what the 293 square miles is, minus existing Starbond districts from which sales taxes would not be captured.
Right now, we're talking to Thomas Freestead. He is with the Kansas City Business Journal, talking to him about the deal between the Chiefs and the state of Kansas. At least my perception of this, Thomas, and I'm curious, is you're right that people are allowed to form their own conclusion about whether or not they think the deal is a good deal or a bad deal. But I also think like there is a measure of just acceptance with how American cities work. It might not be fair, and sure, in an ideal world, these billion-dollar teams will pay for their own stadium, they keep the resources, they do all that, you pay for it. That all makes sense to me. But this is also the cost to me of doing business. And if you're a state like Kansas and you want to lure a team away from a state like Missouri, then you got to offer up a sweet deal. And that is exactly what Kansas did here. I think Kansas set out with a goal. They were going to do whatever it took to get the Chiefs, and it looks like they succeeded in that goal.
I think it's a fair outline, and you know, this is not an issue where I personally opine on it all that much. I will say sort of the framework that I have used to look at this is, you know, you're right. It is the cost of doing business, so to speak, that public dollars are often offered to keep or attract sports teams to this city or that city. It then just becomes a question, if that is accepted as kind of the ground rules at large, you know, what is an acceptable amount? What is the ceiling of incentive money that ought to be offered in the context of these stadium deals? Because, I mean, a question that I've been wondering over the course of these proceedings, and to the extent I was maybe thinking the Chiefs might more seriously consider renovating Arrowhead, Kansas's offer always was going to be the larger dollar value offer in this conversation, just based on how the Starbonds work. And yet it wasn't until last month that they said, you know, we're going to not renovate Arrowhead. We're going to build anew.
Right now, we're learning a little bit more about the stadium issue with Thomas Freestead. He covers the business side of things with the Kansas City Business Journal. Do you see any flaws in this plan? Because at least the way that the Missouri side, we had a couple of politicians on last week, is they just don't really trust the mechanics of it and the economics of it. I think we all know what the positive benefits of the STAR bond is. What are some of the negatives, and could you see maybe this not working as ideal as people think it could?
There's questions to raise on it in terms of how it'll function, and then in terms of just whether this is healthy for the state. In terms of the latter, what this effectively will do is capture future sales taxes from within whatever the ultimate STAR bond district is. And it is somewhat said out of the state that, you know, these are dollars resulting from having the chiefs in Kansas. But the way an economist put it to me that I thought was pretty neat and salient was, you know, people are still going to buy Chipotle burritos. They're still going to shop for T-shirts, still going to buy lawnmowers in Johnson County, even if they're not going to Chiefs games. That all is happening with Johnson County, independent of the Chiefs. All of that money still will go to the stadium bond. For better or worse, that's what people will have to decide. In terms of the functionality of the program, nothing like this has ever been attempted through the STAR bond program. In our reporting from state audits in past years, 20-plus previous STAR bond projects are cumulatively outweighed by just what would go to the stadium alone here, $1.8 billion, to say nothing of potential additional bonds that could go to auxiliary mixed-use development, which is where you get up to $2.775 billion in STAR bonds. Very real questions around that.
Thomas, what do you make of, I guess, Senator Dan Hawkins coming out and saying that the deadline is passed for the Royals if they want to hop on the STAR bonds? What do you make of his comments?
I've been following sort of what Kansas lawmakers have been saying around that reasonably closely, and that you've kind of had these like parallel deadlines here. You've had the end of the year soft deadline. Kansas lawmakers say we will not consider stadium proposals past that point. Of course, it is on the books until June 30th. They could always just reverse course and say, you know what, we think the Royals would be a really great deal at, say, 119th and Nall as well. So we're going to maybe walk that back. And I will also say within the conversation, there's whether the Royals have the ability to use the enhanced STAR bonds versus whether they physically can build a stadium in Kansas. I mean, they could build it yesterday if there was a will and a way. And they theoretically still could qualify for regular STAR bonds, which are targeted towards tourism boosting projects. It would just not be the enhanced stadium variety that they would be able to qualify for if the state held true to its word.
Yeah, a lot of it feels like it's kind of semantics in that regard. This is how we opened up the show, that Kansas is 35th in the state when it comes to population. And I just find it hard to believe, and none of the states that are behind Kansas in terms of population have a professional sports team. I just find it hard to believe that the Royals would go to the state of Kansas, suggest that we want to be there, and Kansas wouldn't do everything in its power to make it work. So you're right. Maybe they're not under the same mechanism as the Chiefs. They don't have the same leveraging power. But having a professional baseball team anywhere in the state of Kansas is such a win that it is for everybody on the politician side to try to make that financially feasible for everybody.
I will say, if you're looking at how a STAR bond would work with relation to the Royals versus the Chiefs, the program is almost better suited to fund a baseball stadium, in that if you're trying to capture economic activity from a district, baseball having 81 games plus whatever concerts or surrounding activity there is versus, like, I think 8 or 9 Chiefs games per year versus how many concerts, like, you will just generate more recurring traffic, presumably around a ballpark versus a football stadium.
Right now, we're talking to Thomas Freestad for a couple more minutes here. He's with the Kansas City Business Journal. I know you're more of a reporter and maybe don't dive into the opinion side of things, but when this thing settles, when all the dust settles, where do you think the Royals are going to land?
I'm out of the prediction business, Karen. Just like, I've been at this now. We've done the timeline of it. It has now been over 4 years since, I think, the first open letter from CEO John Sherman talking about potential future stadium sites. The way I look at it now, I don't have a dog in the fight, but every individual site you can point to has disparate pros and cons. You know, it's been said maybe downtown's Washington Square Park is like the perfect urban setting, but it's also a tight site. You wouldn't be able to have a battery-esque mixed-use district around it. You'd have to buy parcels non-contiguous to the stadium. North Kansas City has a lot of development acreage, but it might rely on a countywide new sales tax. and then 119th and Null, they control by way of the mortgage purchase out there at the Asperia campus. But it seems as though, candidly, everyone and their mother has a reason to not love that site. I think that would be a major uphill battle if they were to attempt to go there.
Yeah, that part to me, I don't know if it surprised me in the least bit, but I mean, no one really around the stadium has kind of wrapped their arms around the idea of that's where the stadium has been. I feel like of all the ideas, and maybe this is saying this on the Kansas side, because there was certainly a lot of pushback to the idea of putting it in the Crossroads District, but there has been a lot of pushback toward the Royals moving to 119th and Null.
Yeah, and maybe it's it comes with the territory when you sort of start to explore a, shall we say, non-conventional stadium site like that. I assume behind closed doors there is at least some vision there that, you know, whether or not everybody likes it, that could be put forward if that were their chosen direction. I think everyone's just waiting to see what is the chosen direction. What more information do the Royals look to have before they come forward and say, this is our preferred path forward?
Well, let me ask you this here, and I'm with you. You're not in the prediction business. I completely understand. Can you tell us how it would work downtown? Because you just mentioned it. There are pros and cons associated with all of these suggestions. I've said that I think there's only one place in the city that will unify the city. You just mentioned all the opposition towards putting on 119th and all. As somebody who lives in Jackson County, I mean, I'm lukewarm about the North Kansas City idea, but sure, if that's where they move, I'll obviously support it. But you could really sell the vision of downtown baseball, especially with the good plan. From a business side, can you tell us how this would work if the Royals tomorrow say, we want to move downtown?
I guess it would depend on their chosen site downtown. The city has concentrated a good amount on Washington Square Park, but I know 18th and Vine has been part of the conversation. And last week I spoke with Mayor Quentin Lucas. I specifically asked, is there anything ruling out if the team ever were to want to go back and look at the East Village, their original choice in downtown? Is there anything that would preclude that? And he said, no, at least not on the city side. So, like, it honestly depends on where they want to go and what level of public incentive participation they perceive as necessary to move forward.
Maybe that's just the idea that they sold us for the longest, so I think that's the one that people would get behind. But I'm still not sure how we spend most of my childhood talking about the East Village, and then one day they just woke up and said, we want to put a stadium in the Crossroads. Like, they could very easily sell me the entire East Village idea. I'm not sure why that idea died on the vine, so to speak.
It was raised at the city level, at least in part, that there was the potential for competition with the Kansas City Power and Light District, which costs the city in bond shortfalls each year. Also, some question as to, I think, so the presence of government buildings in the area, what infrastructure changes would be needed. I mean, I'm sort of the mindset, like, you can make a stadium site work most anywhere if you have a vision and kind of the will to pull it off, you're willing to circumvent whatever challenges there may be. It's just how do you move forward with that?
That is Thomas Freestad joining us on the show. He's with the Kansas City Business Journal covering all things stadium. Thomas, we look forward to having you on again as the story continues to develop. Really appreciate your time and happy new year.
Yeah, likewise. We'll see what predictions I have next.